CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Unbranded. Unbranded, the show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior. I am Timothy Maurice, and I'm interested in how the brain is impacted by brands and narratives, and how people can build brands that make the world a better place. Today's show perhaps summarizes why I do this show in the first place. I've just returned from Japan on a trip to understand the influence of Japanese culture on the brands, and in particular this case, brand Panasonic. I was hosted by the Director of Advertising and Brand from the UAE, Mr. Anthony Peterson, something I just learned. I, along with a host of other journalists from India and the Middle East, arrived in Osaka, Japan, to explore the value Panasonic has on the lives of its consumers around the world. Whether you are in branding or not, this show will inspire you to look back at your culture and see how you can weave it into your personal life to build your personal brand in every area, from how you execute to your diet to how you sustain yourself in turbulent times. Oh, what a trip. You want to stand by, hang out. And I want to give a special shout out to everyone that was on this trip. You guys were special. You know you were special. From the moment we touched down in Japan, it was clear the Japanese culture would live in our systems for the rest of our lives. The integration between cultural discipline and professional discipline was evident from the moment we boarded a bus to our hotels. The entire trip, is summarized by the juxtaposition of warm hospitality and efficiency. Mr. Mihara, the counterpart to Mr. Peter in Japan, welcomed us, and even in his broken English, it was easy to translate his conviction for professionalism. And also, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Mihara. He was an exceptional, extraordinary host on the entire trip as well. Before I get really into this podcast, I want to thank everyone who subscribes, who's gone to iTunes. If you haven't gone to iTunes, please go to iTunes now. Search Unbranded, or my name, Timothy Maurice, that's M-A-U-R-I-C-E, and subscribe. That way, you don't have to go and search for these podcasts. They will literally come to your phone automatically each week. And thanks again for everyone who's already subscribed. I really appreciate it. Midway through the trip, one of our guides was visibly frustrated by what became known as Indian and African time. And so I sought to make light of it by teasing her about the differences between philosophies of time in different regions of the world. She then shared with us in a very humorous but stern way why the Japanese are so keen on being on time. Her name was Hiroki. And she took us back to Buddhist practices and explained that throughout the day, the temples rang the bells, and it was incumbent on them to adhere to the bell's precision to ensure effective spiritual movement throughout the temple. She argued that this stuck in their DNA and continues to do so to this day. And boy, oh boy, was it clear that the spirituality of precision was deeply wired into the DNA of everyone we encountered on this trip. The angle of my story began to evolve on day one of our first factory trip. We would tour two factories, but the first day would stand out to me. It was the Panasonic refrigerators. Anyone can make a refrigerator, but what became clear was that the Japanese culture was woven into every element of the appliance, from the height and positioning of the freezer. The lifestyle of the consumer was the highest priority. Because fresh, crisp vegetables are important to the diet, there were settings integrated to ensure optimal dietary consumption. Lights would turn from blue to red in the fridge to ensure the correct crispness was achieved, as well as rapid freezing of vegetables was an option for the consumer. So you can imagine Japanese have a different height average on medium than the rest of us and the rest of people in the world. So the freezer would be placed very differently than it in, let's say, a Dutch country than it would be Japanese. So they had considered all of this. The point is not to elaborate on Panasonic so much, but to demonstrate how all brands should seek to integrate authentic cultural principles into their brand's philosophies. During the factory tour, I tried to be slick and ask if the floors all were always this clean, or was it because we were touring the factory, and they looked at me like I had just disrespected the emperor. Not only was the factory spotless, it appeared as though each employee were more efficient than the robots, taking special care in every element. This stood out for a lot of reasons, particularly because I could not find any dirt or anything anywhere. In fact, one of the factories we walked into, we had to walk over this sort of dust suction apparatus to make sure that we didn't carry dust from outside. This was remarkable to me. The South African modified version of Panasonic's brand philosophy is you deserve better, which is connected to the head office's A Better Life, A Better World. It's fundamentally impossible to offer better life if the people aren't prepared to work at the best level. So I wanted to see the connection. During Q&A, it was noted by factory directors that Japan is a part of a much larger global order. And if Japan is better, then the world is better. This struck me in a very special way because oftentimes there is so much emphasis on their region or the region we come from that the larger mission of making the world a better place gets lost. The sheer magnitude of the brand's mission was evident in their core posture. They were not just building refrigerators. They were on a clear trajectory to make the world a better place, starting with Japan and going throughout the rest of the world. I have so many observations about the refrigerators, from the mirrored front and how they're able to sort of tailor and customize various aspects, and why specifically there were very sort of modern and clean colors and no bright sort of colors and juxtaposition between colors. It was about honoring the philosophies of precision in their society. Thinking about my work with some of the world's top brands and writing about their philosophies, it seems that having an extremely bold vision is vital to keeping an alertness in the pulse of every employee. I want to pause here for a moment because this is very important. I don't care where you are, who you work for, if you work for yourself or if you work, you're a manager or a leader. The ability to create a bold and compelling vision really takes on the ability for the brain to create a narrative and control much of how the body operates. And I felt this on so many levels that when you have a clear narrative in your mind about who you are and what you're doing, and it is deeply inspiring to people, it sort of regulates your behavior. So this sort of self-regulatory model came through on a lot of levels, and I'll explain that a little bit more in a moment. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the food. There's a good reason why the Japanese has the highest health life expectancy in the world, expected to live to 73 without any major illness or disability. Just to give you a comparison, the U.S. doesn't even make the top 10. Here's the reality. We saw this on a daily basis from breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's the food, guys. It is the food. In fact, I heard a story on the trip that one of the former emperors had tried out sort of a Western diet, and I don't know if the guy was joking with us or not, but apparently his life was shortened and he got diabetes, and after that it became sort of strict, an strict adherence to live on the Japanese sort of food and lifestyle diet, because it does promote such a healthy life. The combination of good, clean food and active lifestyle are the recipe that ensures they live long. Few meals are filled with salt. There are fresh, less processed foods, and most are very low calorie. And more importantly, they seem to add a whole lot of fish to their diet. Oh, and they practice what they term a flexible restraint. This was a big takeaway. Flexible restraint. Where they spoil themselves, but they just don't overdo it. If you do this, boom, you'll come back like me. I came back from Japan feeling lighter and healthier. But let's see how long this lasts. Day two. Let's talk about day two. Day two was in another factory, but this time it was the Lifestyle Center. We explored the efficiency and impact of products like their high-tech vacuum cleaners, which cut in a triangular shape and control via remote, was a wonder to witness. Again, to ensure this doesn't sound like an infomercial, the question was, what was it about the culture and rich history of Japan that informed the design and function of the products? I was startled at how the desire to impact the world in a positive way came through in every aspect of the people, the factory, and the products. The eco-friendliness was never compromised, from the desire to speed up the vacuum's time of cleaning to the type of batteries, as well as the lack of paint in this lamination process they use, and of course the relentless pursuit of people ensuring the planet's survival. It was all there. I was intrigued by how the vacuum, for example, could go into a corner and whisk it way out. Instead of having to perform several times and several tasks, this all contributed to the eco-friendliness. The factory tours were very enlightening, yes, but it was when we visited the Panasonic headquarters in Tokyo where the insight to the Japanese culture became explosive. And I can say on behalf of everyone who was on this trip that Osaka was wonderful, yes. Kyoto, where we went to next to really have a cultural experience, was also special. But Tokyo is on a whole nother level. Tokyo hosts more headquarters and Fortune 500 companies than any other big city in the world. Tokyo is special. Tokyo is one of the cleanest cities. It has one of the largest metropolises in terms of population in the world, but it has managed to be able to operate highly efficiently, which goes back again to the cultural principles. So Tokyo was a delight on every level. Despite of how organized it was, there were people on the tour who continued to get lost. I won't call anybody out in case they get a chance to listen to this, but Sunil and people like that, they were good people. The slogan "Aspire to More" was present everywhere throughout the factories, and aspiration is what we got when we arrived at the Panasonic Center. The moment we walked in, we were greeted by signs showing that Panasonic is a worldwide partner for the Tokyo Olympics. By the way, I am going back to Tokyo for the 2020 Olympics. I have to be there. They were hosting a Tokyo marathon. While I was there, and I got a chance to wake up early that morning and get a good run in, good 6-kilometer run before the marathon started. That was a wonderful experience. So apparently the Tokyo Marathon was a way of sort of testing and bringing thousands of people into town and testing how well they are prepared to handle the logistics. And they seem to pull it off pretty well. But back to how cultural beliefs drive brand philosophy. At the center of our tour was the wonderful Life Box, which is a futuristic concept for enriching lifestyles, a space to expand your lifestyle's possibilities while making your life more efficient. My favorite concept is being able to sit a bottle of wine down on the table, and the screen will pop up that gives the history and background of the wine. All these capabilities were both for domestic and commercial use. But a close second for me personally was energy independence using hydrogen cells, which allows for all sorts of innovative options and weaning ourselves off of old traditional energy dependence. Oh, but before I forget, the ability to grow strawberries in your cabinet was also kind of cool. You got to admit that was cool. For others, especially the female journalists on the trip, they seem to really get a kick out of the ability to look in the mirror and have a mirror report what's happening with your skin, and even go as far as giving feedback on hairstyle and makeup. I was blown away by this technology. This is all in this sort of wonder box concept. In fact, even the guys, I stood in the mirror, and the mirror would show me what a mustache would look like, what a beard would look like, even what If I was wearing a blue jacket, they could change the color to red and show me if I wanted to become a pimp, what a pimp would look like. It's just unbelievable. Also, lying inside of a bed, I could look up and it sort of tell me sort of what my blood pressure were, what the weather was today, what how much time it was going to take if I took the train at a certain time. Just unbelievable how Panasonic used technology to be able to advance our lives. But before this sort of tour ended, we got a chance to see everything from how Panasonic is impacting watching sports to live digital advertising, which allows everything from pole advertising to moving billboards, experiential and motion-inspired technology, which is going to add so much revenue and business opportunity to businesses. And this is where, for me, it just came alive from a very practical level. Their ability to be able to look at their culture, to impact business, and to impact how people thrive and from a profit level was remarkable. You may be thinking, what does all this Japanese technology have to do with me? My answer is everything. Not only should it inspire you to think bigger and bolder about your place in the world, but it also should inspire you to celebrate that Panasonic is committed to South Africa and Africa. With Panasonic's office in Midrand, the Japanese office made it extremely clear that they want South Africans to experience a better life because they believe that South Africa deserves better. From 1918, when the founder of Panasonic, Konosuke Matsushita, launched the brand, it has been focused on connecting Japanese cultural principles to advancing societies around the world. All the best, Panasonic, as it prepares to celebrate its 100th anniversary in 2018. And I want you to email me, info@timothymaurice.com, or Timothy Maurice, that's MAURICE.com, if you have cultural sort of values that you think could be translated into business. One of the things that inspired me after this trip was to start researching and looking at how indigenous cultures can influence values, beliefs within organizations and ultimately impact design, marketing, and how the customer experiences a brand. I feel like there's a lot of disjointedness in most places in the world. And I feel like the big opportunity that we're facing is the ability to do like what Panasonic has done and go deep into their sort of their culture and where you're from, your ecological order, and really understand how to take it and influence society and live it on a daily basis. I feel like if you really want to disrupt and you want to disrupt consistently with your brand, then you have to be anchored in something that is deeply meaningful. Yes, being innovative means changing constantly and evolving constantly. But the only real way to be able to build a brand that stands the test of time, that moves people forward in a way, in an extraordinary way, that is sustainable. There is no other reason why Japan has some of the oldest businesses in the world except that they link what they're doing to some sort of history and some future. And I want you to get that. And I want you to really fully embrace it. That the history and the future can be woven together through understanding culture, understanding history, and understanding the impact you want to make in the world. And that's what I really took away from my trip to Japan. That at no point was there a disconnect between history and future. When I look at the future of South Africa and Africa, the Middle East, there is a prime opportunity to be able to innovate, partner alongside brands like Panasonic, and make an impact and shape a future that we're all going to be proud of, that our kids are proud of, using technology to change educational systems, translate curriculums into very practical uses, to be able to take and use our phones to make sure that people get water faster, to be able to sort of put our phone up a fridge to help distribution centers to be able to move and preserve and to just do things to advance our society. I am very grateful for the opportunity to go on this trip, because one thing is for sure, that if I'm going to continue sort of driving new thinking, I need to be exposed to new opportunities. And I want you to challenge me to think bolder, think in ways that pushes the envelope. And I'm going to be writing about this trip, and I'm going to be looking at other ways to be able to connect and partner and leverage the sort of philosophy of this trip into new, exciting ways. So thank you so much for everyone who's listened. Please continue to subscribe. You can go to cliffcentral.com. You can go to iTunes, search Unbranded and my name, Timothy Maurice, and subscribe, and continue to, engage and go to my own website, www.timothymaurice.com. And I want to take this opportunity to ask you to go to YouTube. If you have, wherever you are in the world, if you haven't watched my show on Inside Her C-Suite on CNBC Africa, where I interview some of the leading women who are driving change in society, who are building brands, please check it out, and let me know your thoughts as well. You can email me on the emails that I just shared with you, but you can search Inside of Her C-Suite on YouTube and my name, Timothy Maurice, and it'll give you a long list. Or you can even go to CNBCAfrica.com and then search my name as well. But either way, the main thing is I want you to see some of the extraordinary women that I've been interviewing and maybe connect with them or reach out to them or reach out to me and I can connect you with them. Either way, ultimately, I want to connect people and connect opportunities so that we can all continue making a difference together, build brands that shape society. And that is the reason why I'm doing Unbranded. So thank you again. You are remarkable. I love you, and thanks. And we'll speak to you soon on the next podcast next week. CliffCentral.com.